Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. My name is Mauricio, and I am a compulsive overeater. And hello to anyone that might be listening to the podcast. I am a grateful compulsive overeater, and I am grateful. I am grateful because if I wasn't an overeater, I wouldn't have all the tools and a connection with the higher power that I have today to deal with life. And I would still be resorting to the food. I don't have to do that today. So I'm going to start with a disclaimer. My disclaimer today is that everything I say is just my opinion. If I offend you, I apologize in advance. And if you don't hear anything that you like, leave it all here and just go to the next speaker. I'm perfectly okay with it. I will not be offended. I also want to disclaim that I will be talking, hopefully, I will be talking about my higher power, who I choose to call God. If you have a problem with the word God, just substitute it for anything that might work for you, whether that might be higher power or higher self or anything, whatever you have. But I call my higher power God. And any more disclaimers? No, I think that's it for now. But yeah, I'm grateful to be here. I'm going to start, since you don't know much about me and my history, I'm going to try not to spend too much time on the food or what I used to look like or how much I used to weight. But I think it is important for me to tell you where I came from, so that you get an idea. But that's not what this program is about. It's about the food, but it's not about the food. It was 100% about the food when I was a newcomer here. So anyway, I turned off my video so you can see a picture of what I used to look like. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, my top weight was about 235 pounds, I believe, somewhere around there. I stopped weighing myself. And for those of you that are listening, it's just a picture of me on a vacation. And I have half a smile, not a full smile. It was a fake smile. And I didn't want to have my picture taken, but it was a vacation. And I was trying to have as good of a time as I could, but I was very self-aware of my body image, and very much in the food. So anyway, I will share my video again. So thanks to Overeaters Anonymous, and thanks to the tools and the program and my sponsor and working through the 12 steps, I've been able to get to 175 pounds today. That's where I am, which is a healthy body weight for me. I am 6'1", and this is healthy as far as what my doctor tells me. And I am perfectly happy with my weight. I'm perfectly happy with how I eat. And I know that people have different food programs or, plans of eating and things like that. So what matters is that I'm happy with my food today. I'm not insane. So anyway, enough about the statistics, enough about the food. I came into Overeaters Anonymous about 3 years ago, from another 12-step program and the mothership program. And as soon as I found out that there was Overeaters Anonymous, I came right away because I was desperate. At the time, I had put down the bottle, but I had picked up the fork. I was eating compulsively. I was basically food drunk every night. I would pass out eating, and the next morning I would deal with whatever was left around the bed, and I was just unable to stop. So when I came here, I wanted a quick fix. I had already gone through the 12 steps. I thought I already had a spiritual awakening, and I just needed a food plan. And I came into regular Overeaters Anonymous. And in Overeaters Anonymous, we are not a diet club. We don't endorse any particular plan of eating. And so for me, it was a little frustrating because I kind of knew what I was compulsively eating, but I wanted somebody to tell me how to eat. And I was just in denial. I think that for me, denial was also a big issue initially. I was happy to be here, but I wasn't happy to be here. It was really strange when I first came. So I used to listen to different stories. And for me, I had difficulty identifying initially. When we read all the things that we do as compulsive overeaters, I hadn't done all of those things. And so I had difficulty identifying as a compulsive overeater. And I was trying to other myself, thinking that I just had a small weight problem and it wasn't really an illness. And so as I went to my first few meetings, I knew enough about the third tradition. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating. And so anytime I would hear a speaker that would talk about their large numbers or everything that they did, I had to basically I was chanting in the background in my head, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Why? Because, and this tradition is so important to me because I'm the one that's trying to kick me out of the 12-step programs. And so I'm glad that we have this tradition. And I think it's actually more important for the compulsive overeater than for the group. At least that's my experience. Again, everything is just my opinion. And so I stayed, and about 3 months in, I was still eating very much compulsively. And I realized that my issues around food were a lot bigger than I thought they were. And I became willing to get a sponsor. And I had difficulty finding a sponsor. I do this every time I go to a different 12-step program. I have fear of rejection. I knew who I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to ask the person because I'm like, I'm sure they're going to say no, and I don't want to be rejected because I've been rejected all my life. And that was one of the reasons why I eat compulsively. I get rejected, I go to the food. But I also have a higher power now. So it's like going with faith, even though I have fear, I'm going to go in with faith. And I asked the person, and they said, I'm willing to sponsor you on a temporary basis. Let's give it a trial of 2 months and we'll see what happens. And you can, it's a trial period. That's what I've done with everybody. And that's what my sponsor did with me. I was glad about it, but I also felt a little bit rejected. It also helped me be on my best behavior those first 2 months with my sponsor. So I called him every day and I did followed a lot of the suggestions. And yeah, I stay in touch with him. It's been, we've completed all 12 steps. We used the OA workbook. Again, that was just the way I did the steps here. There's different ways. Not saying my way is better than anything else. It's just what worked for me. And I got to learn a lot about myself. I got to learn a lot about my history. That step one was so important to me. I got to look at all the things that I did around the food, and I went all the way back to childhood. Because I've always struggled with food for as long as I can remember. I was a chubby kid, and the other kids used to make fun of me and all of that, but it doesn't bother me as much anymore. It's part of my history, and it's what makes me who I am today, and I'm grateful about it. Let me see. I made a list of things that I wanted to talk about, and I meditated this morning. That's basically all the preparation I did. Okay, talk about spiritual awakening, talk about the third tradition. Okay, yeah. So basically, my initial abstinence was about maybe 10 alcoholic foods. I'm not going to name them. They're not important, but they were very important to me back then, 3 years ago. And my sponsor told me, make a list of alcoholic foods. You don't have to give them up if you don't want to, but you want to create some awareness. And so I did that. And I didn't want to share it because I just thought, man, he's going to ask me to put them down. And I don't know how I'm going to live without these foods. I need them so much. But eventually I got the willingness. It was very difficult to give them up. I went to a lot of meetings to stay outside of my own head. But what happened to me was that the disease kept evolving. Maybe, I don't know if that's the right word. It kept, I don't know. I put down those 10 alcoholic foods, and then I would compulsively eat something else that I never compulsively ate before. I'm like, okay, another red light food, another alcoholic food, put that down. And it was insane. I was like, when is this gonna end? The list was getting bigger and bigger, about 20, 30 items. And I remember, I forgot to say, my abstinence date is June 1st of 2023, so I'm coming up on 3 years. And this is the date that my sponsor and I picked, because I was already refraining from certain alcoholic foods and certain behaviors. But I also have a spiritual abstinence, I call it. It's a different date. I don't know what that date is, but it happened about 3 months later. Anyway, I was very insane around the food, putting one down, picking up another. And it got to the point where I was so frustrated. The noise around my head was just so loud. You know, it's like, when is this going to end? This is actually worse than alcohol and all the drugs that I did. At least I knew what they were, and I put them down and I never went back to them. How am I going to get through this? This disease of compulsive eating is just never ending. And so I remember I was here coming to the kitchen for yet another binge on a specific food. And I got down on the floor. I got down, I wasn't even on my knees. It was like baby position, and the noise was so loud in my head. And I'm like, I give up. The disease is just so insane. I am going insane. And all of a sudden I heard this voice in the back of my head. And again, the word God, it's going to come up. I just heard it in the back of my mind. It said, son, get up. Get up. You got to confront the disease. You're not alone. You got Overeaters Anonymous. You got me. Tell your disease how you're not alone anymore. And so I got up from the floor and I started talking to the disease. I'm not schizophrenic or anything, but I literally started shouting. I used to be alone and I used to be weak, but I have a higher power now, and I have Overeaters Anonymous, and I have thousands of other members with me. I have an army with OA, and I have the tools. I'm not in the fight alone. And so what happened in my head is that it finally, for the first time in a very long time, it got quiet. It got so quiet. And it finally dawned on me, I am addicted to sugar. I am addicted to sugar. I didn't want to believe it. I kept hearing people, whoa, sugar and this and that and the other, and three meals, nothing in between, and no flour, no sugar. And I said, I am an addict. I can't eat sugar. I cannot eat flour. And so that day, okay, I'm like, I know the road. I'm gonna do what I did when I went to the first my first AA meeting. I gotta get rid of my drugs. And so I went through my cabinets, and I'm the type of compulsive overeaters that likes to keep a very large supply, a large inventory. I never want to run out. And I remember I had bags, big bags of sugar that I thought were healthy. So anyway, I got rid of all of those. I got rid of artificial sugar too, because as an alcoholic, it's like I'm not going to switch from one substance to another. I need to get rid of all forms of sugar, whether they are real sugar or artificial. And I had so much artificial sugar as well, and I had a lot of honey and all these different things. And I thought about giving them to a neighbor or something, because some of them were unopened. And I just thought, would I actually give drugs to somebody else? No, I wouldn't. I don't want to hurt anyone else. So I don't want to put them in my body. I don't want to give them to anyone else. I am going to actually put them in the trash. That's where they belong. And so that day, I actually became abstinent. I call that abstinent given date. I don't know what that date was, but it was about 3 months after. And did life become easy afterwards? No, it did not. It for me, it actually meant becoming more willing to dive into the program. I picked up service at 4 different meetings. I did 90 meetings in 90 days, and I started to work through the steps even harder, because I just knew this disease is going to actually take a lot more strength than giving up all the other things that I had already given up in other 12-step programs. And so, anyway, I don't have a lot of time, but there's three minutes left. I want to talk about God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And I also want to talk about how I went through grief in December. I lost somebody very, very special to me, somebody that I loved very dearly. And when they passed away, and even before passing away, the food started calling very loudly. And of course, I leaned into my sponsor. I leaned into a few other people that are in my trusted circle. And a lot of meetings, I kept saying, I am eating meetings because I don't want to eat the food, you know? And so I went to a lot of meetings, but it was not enough. It was not enough. The whole fellowship, the 12 steps, the sponsorship, other people, was not enough. The disease was so strong. The grief was so strong. I got to a point where I really wanted to compulsively eat again. I wanted to go in so back. And I wanted to go to my other addictions as well, because the intensity of the feelings with grief was just so immense. I'd never gone through anything like that. And I remember on December 16th of last year, I decided I'm just gonna go on the OA website and I'm gonna attend this last meeting. And if it doesn't work, that's it. I don't know what else to do. And so I went into OA.org and I logged into the first meeting that popped up. And guess what it was? The only one meeting in Overeaters Anonymous, there are thousands. The first meeting was a grieving meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, grieving focused meeting. And I just completely broke down and started crying. This is God. This is God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And so I attended that meeting. It's every Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I attended and I cried, and I knew that I was not the only one grieving. There were about 15 other people going through the same thing as I was. And I did not have to go into the food. I reinforced my commitment to abstinence. And I just thought, man, God doing for me what I can. I really needed a sign. And so that was a big sign. And I've had a lot of coincidences like that happen to me quite a bit in recovery. I don't have time to go into them, but yeah, I hope you got something out of my share, and if I offended anyone or if I said nothing that was useful to you, then go to the next go to the next meeting. Thank you very much.